Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. Last year, the vice president of the illegal regime, Joe Biden, stated at the 100th anniversary meeting of the Jewish Anti-Defamation League, or ADL, in Washington, D.C., quote, "I mean this sincerely. You have become America's conscience. You have become the conscience of this country, no matter what the issue. You have been a pillar of the Jewish community, but you reach out, and you have reached out your embrace for all communities." Close quote. Biden added that the ADL has been by his side, guiding him through, quote, "nearly every legislative battle and at every phase," close quote, of his career. From the integration of blacks into our society, from the opening of the borders to a fatal flood tide of non-white immigration, from the demonization and criminalization of freedom of association through so-called civil rights and affirmative action laws, and to the promotion and normalization of homosexuality and other perversions, Biden said the ADL has been his guiding light. Biden continued to gush at the D.C. meeting, which was moderated by NPR talking head Cokie Roberts, saying that the ADL was, quote, "the most influential, the most listened to, the most respected organization in this town," close quote. Influential? Certainly. With its connections to the Jewish elite that run the mass media in America, the ADL can terminate the career of any politician with little more than a few telephone calls, and in a few days or weeks, exposés of the politician's sure-to-be sordid past will be all over the front pages and the network newscasts. Submit to the influence of the ADL and the allied organizations of the Jewish power structure like AIPAC, and the dirt will remain hidden in their files, though ready at any moment for dispersal. One can only imagine how the rise of the surveillance state, with all its alphabet agencies honeycombed with ADL informants, which collect all our emails, text messages, and telephone calls, and those of every politician too, Natch, has facilitated this influence. Most listened to? Absolutely. If you're a politician and you fail to listen to the instructions of your guiding light, who has been at your side for your entire political career, well, just try it and see what happens. There are plenty of smarmy, smiling, good-looking lawyers just waiting to take your place with the right application of campaign funds, media promotion of him and defamation of you, and Jewish ad agency magic. You're replaceable, pal. Better listen up and listen good. Respected? Sure, in the same sense that the mafia is respected. You respect those who stand ready, willing, and able to destroy your life whenever they so choose. And this isn't just a metaphor on my part. The ADL has real organized crime connections. In other articles and programs, I've documented the fact that the ADL has fronted for, has direct links with, and has accepted large sums of money from such underworld figures as Mo Dalitz and Meyer Lansky, and close associates and family members of these crime bosses have served as ADL officials. At the same time that Biden was abasing himself by pushing his snout into the filthy orifices of his overlords, ADL operatives were working on a very significant project which has recently come to light. In September, the ADL spearheaded a meeting in California, along with a quote-unquote British group, calling itself the Inter-Parliamentary Coalition for Combating Anti-Semitism. The Jewish Chronicle reports in an article entitled "Web Giants Unite to Fight Online Hate" that a game-changing agreement was reached between the ADL and internet firms Twitter, Facebook, Google, and Microsoft to quote-unquote, take steps to stop, quote, the proliferation of racist and abusive comments, close quote, and to, quote, force racism and hatred from the web, close quote. Under this agreement, these companies promise, quote, tougher sanctions against those who post abusive messages, close quote. These firms already routinely censor, block, and ban users who criticize Israel or Jewish power. So one has to wonder just what these game-changing, tougher sanctions will entail. The social media giants promised the Jewish groups that they would devise proactive strategies to deal with the problem under the constant guidance of the ADL, referred to as, quote, a leading anti-Semitism watchdog, and which has been designated the co-convener of the project. Most likely, the unstated goals of the group go far beyond just censoring comments. A logical next step is to get providers of web space to delete blogs and sites which organized Jews don't like, something the ADL and allied groups have been working on without much success for years. The truth is that the ADL and organized Jewry are desperate. Worldwide, there is a confluence of left and right, of white and non-white, of religious and non-religious, of first world and third world, which recognizes and criticizes Jewish and Zionist power. The false picture of reality that the billionaires' media could impose on the minds of men is fracturing with the rise of the net and alternative media. This censorship initiative is the result. The Jewish group's failure to keep the truth hidden is also evident on YouTube, even though YouTube is owned by Jewish-run Google. If you can stand 5 minutes of slimy self-praise, look at the ADL-produced and posted video, 100 Years of Fighting Hate, on YouTube. Now, the whole basis of the millions upon millions of dollars that YouTube produces for its owners is allowing free video uploads and free commenting on those uploads. Take that away, and the millions stop flowing in. Another basis for YouTube's success is its automatically generated links to recommended videos related to the subject matter of the video you've just watched. Now, no one has bothered to comment yet on the ADL's 100 Years of Fighting Hate video, and only 100 people have watched it so far. But comments on race-related and Jewish-related videos on YouTube indicate a rising awareness of the dangers of Jewish power, with the Jew-wise commentators almost always a significant presence, and sometimes even in the majority. This is true of comment sections all over the web, not just on YouTube. Something is happening. A new consciousness of the dangers of Jewish power is emerging. Hence, the new censorship initiative from the ADL. This rising consciousness is made quite obvious in the automatically generated related videos that pop up in the window after the initial fighting hate video is over. My friends and I tried it in several browsers and several computers, logged in and not logged in. Every time, 9 out of 10 of the related videos were critical of Jews and Jewish power. The videos being uploaded on this subject are overwhelmingly from those on our side of the Jewish question. The ADL and related Jewish groups like the SPLC may have hundreds of millions worth of wealthy donors behind them. They may have bought politicians and corrupt secret police at their disposal. But they are nevertheless losing the battle for control of our minds. Even if the ADL's censorship drive succeeds, the extent of their success will be to erect a 10-foot-high, 20-foot-wide wall to hide the roaring tsunami of Jew awareness that is sweeping over the world. Remember that. The ADL and the controlled media try to make us feel alone and isolated. They try to give us the impression that racial consciousness and awareness of Jewish power are very rare. They want to make us think that almost everyone agrees with them, and that we are lonely, hysterical misfits. But the worldwide reality is close to the opposite of that. Their machinery of illusion is failing now, and will fail even more obviously in the near future. By the way, it's also interesting that a Google Images search for ADL comes up not only with the logotypes of the Jewish group and its auxiliaries, but both of the ADL graphics I created for the National Alliance, which are included in the text version of this broadcast, also come up on the first page of results, a sure indication of their popularity and relevance. Along the same lines, a simple Google search for anthrax attacks or anthrax mystery brings up Robert Pate's superb article, "The Anthrax Mystery Solved," which characterizes the attacks as a Jewish operation, in the first page of results, and has done so for many years. One internet commenter, who goes by the name of Jay, states on UNZ.com, quote, "Mainstream media sites will already delete and block comment messages that are simply critical of Israel. They don't have to be racist, homophobic, or threatening. Mine have been deleted many times. Some, like the Wall Street Journal, may not delete as much, but they will tinker with the number of thumbs up. I've seen posts of mine get maybe 50 to 60 likes, and then later the post will magically have only 2 likes. Amazing, isn't it? I've been blocked and deleted from the LA Times, Boston Globe, Washington Post, CNN, ABC, you name it. The ADL, by the way, was founded in honor of convicted child rapist and murderer Leo Frank, who was convicted in Atlanta in 1913. His death sentence was later commuted by a crooked Georgia governor who took Jewish money. Frank was taken from jail and lynched, the only Jew ever lynched in American history, in 1915. The official narrative has Frank portrayed as a victim of anti-Semitism, of course. He got a fair trial, and 1913 Georgia would have much preferred to have nailed the initial black suspect of the crime, but the evidence was not there." Close quote. The Leo Frank case is yet another example of the failure of the ADL and the Jewish power structure in general to control the narrative. The Frank case is very instructive and very important to the ADL, since it was the Frank case that caused the ADL to be founded in 1913. The soon-to-be-retired head of the ADL, Abraham Foxman, committed his own hate crime hoax in 2005 when he wrote the ADL's official spin on the case, entitled "Lessons of the Leo Frank Case Still Relevant." Interestingly, the ADL has blocked archive.org from archiving that piece. In that editorial, Foxman states, quote, "The murder of Mary Fagan was the catalyst for one of the most virulent anti-Semitic episodes in American history." Close quote. Foxman's spin is that the arrest and conviction of Frank for the murder of Mary Fagan were part of a virulent anti-Semitic episode, even though there is not the slightest scintilla of evidence that the South was particularly anti-Jewish then or now. In fact, numerous Jewish sources document the fact that the American South is and has been one of the most pro-Jewish areas in the entire world. Foxman is a liar, and he knows it. Foxman went on to say, quote, "His trial was a spectacle. Threats, intimidation, and a boisterous crowd outside chanting, 'Kill the Jew' and 'Hang the Jew' could easily be heard through the courtroom's open windows." Close quote. These alleged anti-Semitic mobs intimidating the jury were never reported at the time, not even by pro-Leo Frank newspapers. In fact, The jurors in the Frank case specifically stated that they heard no mobs, no threats, and were not intimidated in any way. Frank's own lawyers made no complaints or even mention of these supposed Jew-hating crowds during the trial, even a single instance of which would have been grounds for an immediate mistrial. The first intimation of these alleged mobs was many months after the trial, when Frank's legal team and Jewish advocacy groups were straining to find some pretext for yet another appeal. Foxman is a liar, and he knows it. Foxman then says, quote, "Frank, a Northern Jew, was arrested, indicted, and tried for Fagin's murder without evidence," close quote. Absurd. There is a mountain of evidence that shows Frank to be the murderer of Mary Fagin. Enough for the coroner's jury, enough for the grand jury, enough for several judges, enough for the trial jury, enough for the Georgia Court of Appeals, and enough for the Supreme Court of the United States. Foxman is a liar, and he knows it. As I said back in April, Mr. Foxman's convicted without evidence claim is completely ridiculous, and the scholars, researchers, and publishers who have labored for years to bring the true evidence of this case to light are showing the world just how paper-thin the Jewish group's false version of events really is. And this effort is succeeding. The major search engines now return many results from sites telling the righteous truth about the Frank case, from Metapedia's articles to the huge Leo Frank case and trial research library, to the encyclopedic series on the case by Bradford L. Huey in the American Mercury, and many, many others, including pieces we've published on National Vanguard. The really heartening thing is that these independent media are often standing as high or higher than the Jewish group's own sites in terms of search rank, and therefore relevance and readership. Tom Watson was a popular Georgia writer and political leader who spoke the truth about the Leo Frank case, especially about the multi-million-dollar Jewish campaign after his conviction to exonerate him and vilify the people of Georgia as anti-Semites. In November, the ADL succeeded in getting the statue of Watson taken off the steps of the state capitol building. The ADL may crow about their success in lobbying the Georgia legislature to get Tom Watson's statue removed. They can, for now, distort our history in their media and suppress our heritage with their bought and intimidated lawmakers. But they are not crowing about the hard work of a tireless woman and editorial team who recently republished all of Watson's articles on the Frank case, and a more powerful piece of work on the subject I have never seen. And such Jewish success is a two-edged sword. Many will now read Watson's words, understand them, and deeply resent what the ADL has done. And they will also begin to understand just what the ADL is. Honest men and women and truth-seeking researchers are being affected by our truth-telling as we approach the 100th anniversary of Frank's death. Working together, a relatively small group of men and women, many of whom are personally known to me, have managed to outdo and outflank the ADL and other Jewish supremacist groups on their own turf, their own search and news and other sites, and on an issue that is extremely important to them, both practically and symbolically. We are making a difference, and we can make history. Join with us today. You've been listening to American Dissident Voices, the radio program of the National Alliance, founded by William Luther Pierce in 1970. This program is published every week at whitebiocentrism.com and nationalvanguard.org. Please write to us at National Alliance, Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. We welcome your support, your inquiries, and your help in spreading our message of hope to our people. Once again, that address is Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. Until next week, this is Kevin Alfred Strom reminding you to keep on thinking free.
For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout to the skies. We will now have our rebirth. For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout.